We're honored to have with us our beloved brother, Eliezer Perry. He is no stranger to this camp. God has often sent him our way. He's worked faithfully with the young people, and as well, he has preached the word of God to us, and we're excited to have him once again to come here and preach for us. Thank you, brother.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It is a true joy and a privilege for me and my wife to be attending this year's camp. I'm just grateful. We didn't plan for all of this, but God in his providence worked it out that we could be here this year. I'm grateful to the Lord that we could just be here, come help in every way that we can by the grace of the Lord. I appreciate this camp so very much. It's our privilege to be traveling with my pastor. I don't know how much we help him, but he surely helps us on the way coming up here. Just to be around him, fellowshipping with him, it's a treat for me and my wife. And also, I'm grateful for godly saints right here in this assembly. Just a blessing you have been to my heart all these years. Been here in the United States, I guess, for 10 years now. And first time ever I stepped in this part of the world is when Dr. Lasilius drove me in. He said, son, I want you to come up to Pennsylvania from where I am from. I said, okay. I did not know what I was getting myself into, but great was the day. Doc drove me all the way up here, and it was just a treasured memories and learning and just witnessing God just do some marvelous, mighty things through our pastors. I'm grateful. I'm thankful for Brother David Morris. I appreciate you, brother. Love you in the Lord. You've been one of the marksmen in our lives. I appreciate you. Thank you for being a witness and a faithful man of God in my life. I can go around and tell about all. There's so many people here that I look up to. I appreciate you all. I know you love us, and I know you pray for us, and that is very highly appreciated right here. Also privileged to be able to witness our young people this week. Just a tremendous blessing. I poured out my heart this week in sharing with the young people the good word of God. God's been burning my heart these days concerning several things, but God's been faithful to give us liberty in the teaching every morning. We appreciate your prayers. Thank you again for this camp. All that goes in, we don't know all the details, but God knows, and we are so grateful for this camp. And this morning, as I desire to preach the Word of God, as the Lord helps me, let's turn our Bibles to the book of Revelation this morning. Book of Revelation, chapter number 5. The preaching has been tremendous. I appreciate the Lord helping my soul this week. I've been sumptuously fed by the Word of God, and God's been stirring my heart, and I praise God for that. And I believe God's been stirring your heart as well. Thank God. God is a God of both ends, isn't He? Bible says in 5th chapter of Revelation, if you found your place, would you please stand with me in the honor of reading God's Word? Bible says in 5th chapter of Revelation, John the Revelator writes here by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit as he is caught up in heaven. And this is what the Bible says, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within, and on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open and loose the seals thereof?' And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, 'Weep not, behold,
the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, had prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, and four beasts, and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odor, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seal thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, and riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven, on and on the earth, and under the sea, and such are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing, and honor, and glory, and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we bow in the worthy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we humble ourselves this morning before you, before your word. And as we acknowledge that thy Spirit is amongst us this morning, he is well alive amongst us, and we know that the Word of God is rich, as we've just heard the reading of it, and so powerful. Father, we bless your Son this morning. If it wasn't for your Son, we wouldn't have this book. We wouldn't have anything to read or hope in this morning. So we ask you, by thy divine power, would you visit us this morning? Lord, I'm not able in me, in myself. God, I need you and your Spirit's anointing afresh this morning. I pray for the Holy Ghost of God as you met with others this week and helped them and helped me. So now I pray that I stand in need of your help, Father. Would you draw me to your Son's side? And Lord, as I look to the Son, the Lord Jesus, and I desire to glorify him today, may we all join the heavenly choir as they sang, Worthy is the Lamb. May we do that this morning. Lord, if it be, Lord, them that are without Christ amongst us this morning, would you draw them to yourself? All that the Father has given, you said that the Son will draw and will not lose any of them. Lord, I'm looking at them that without Christ, would you draw them to the end of themselves and save them is our prayer. For it's in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I have prayed and I prayed that God would speak to me for this morning and ask that God would just grace me for what He wants me to say this morning. I know for sure that I am one unworthy standing right here to be preaching. I know there's many able men of God that have paved the path and preached the word all through this week and all the years of being here. But I'm just grateful this morning to just say that I can speak and say, and my heart can burn this morning concerning my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. If I don't accomplish anything this morning, it's good to me to know that I, a sinner saved by the grace of God, when I was not looking for Him, He came my way and He put hope and He redeemed me by the grace of God, and He has set me in a place where I can worship my Savior freely, happily, with all my heart. And that's what I want to do this morning. Like it said this week already, it is the chief end of man to what? To worship God, to know Him, to enjoy Him, to glorify Him. Amen. Forever. And I want to enjoy Him. And I want you to enjoy our Redeemer. Somebody asked me last night, what is the challenge of this day? I believe Brother Larry was getting my thinker going on last night. And we begin to converse there and talk and think about all the things that God is doing and what we lack and what we need in these days. There are many things that for sure we need by the divine hand of the Lord. Amen. But my desire this morning, as I consider that there's one thing that is lacking in our midst for our generation, is there is no enjoyment in the Lord. There is no full free worship. The outflow of worship is truly missing in our generation. And I pray that it would be in my heart this morning that I'd be a worshiper of Jesus Christ. When Jesus saved me, He didn't make me just a Christian, just go to heaven, but He made me a worshiper. He made me His disciple, and I get not to worship the idols and the things and the philosophies of the world, but thank God I worship a risen Savior this morning. He's alive, He's well, He's grand, He's a wonderful Savior to me this morning, and I worship. I can enjoy God just as much as I know for sure this morning there are other things that I enjoy about God. I love to sing. I love to play music. I love to pray. I love to hear men pray. I love to hear the preaching of the Word of God. I'm not talking about all of that. But this morning, I can enjoy the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's my joy. He's my crown. He's my sufficiency. He's all my longing. He's my strength. He's my comfort. And I can enjoy in the Lord, my God, my Savior. What a Savior this morning. What a great God this morning. I don't know about you this morning, but if I would consider all of us this morning at this portion of Scripture, and I know for sure in the Revelation, we know that it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It is not just a revelation of just last things or all of that. And for sure there are many things that the Bible has to say in the book of Revelation, but specifically, it is the revelation of Jesus Christ to one apostle, and to His church, and to them that are the saints or redeemed by the grace of God. And we see John is caught up here, right, in the fourth and fifth chapters. We cannot separate them. They are to be understood and learned as the fifth chapter unfolds and the fourth chapter unfolds. The very theme, which is the worship in heaven and what goes on in heaven. I don't know about this morning, but I know for sure that instead of looking at the world, now they worship the best example, the best theme that I can pick up and see in of true worship comes from heaven itself, around the throne of God and in the presence of the Lord. Oh, I pray this morning that God would make us worshipers. God would make worshipers out of us. And my title, if I were to borrow it, would be right here from this text. And so many times it's been said, and John says, and he witnessed this, that it is the worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb is where we're headed this morning. As you consider All of the scripture, we find that God's word is rich, powerful, true, and it is awesome and strong, and it draws great strength to us. It's great comfort to us. But when it comes to portions of scriptures like these, that you would find that God is fully packing these verses and these chapters with so rich glimpse and reality that God, His throne, His presence, His assemblies, His throne, and all that is going on in this chapter may capture us and make us worshipers. Somebody said, what is true worship? I like what my pastors used to define it, and I really like it. It is truly that to be caught up in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ is true worship. And I like what sometimes Dr. Lasilich used to say, especially in light of revival. He used to say, being caught up in the person of the Holy Spirit. We do some extraordinary things that pertain to revival. And when I think of many that have paved the path and have wrote the books and lived the life of revivals, and I see these are the men not only been caught up by the person of Christ in worship, but also they have been caught up in the person of the Holy Spirit in workmanship. Thank God this morning that we are called as the workmanship to work out the very plan and the will of God for our day, that is the church of the living God. Amen. And I praise God this morning as we consider, I know I'm taking my time to get into this because there's so much to say, but let me hurry this morning. As all of the scripture is so rich, but this passage of scripture, the moment you strike it, it becomes rich. You don't have to get into any depths of it. I know there's so much types and symbols and all of that that are engraved in these wonderful packed two chapters of fourth and fifth chapter of Revelation. But I don't have to this morning. And I know for sure some of you have read these portions of scripture, probably heard preaching on these portions of scripture. But all I want to say is this: if it is Christ that we can get to in this chapter, the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, this is Christ. This is the Christ chapter. This is the Christ crowning chapter. As we see in all of redemptive history, we see in the Old Testament that they preached, they prayed, they prophesied, they wrote the history towards looking forward to the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, and finally he has arrived. And then we see, instead of worshiping him, embracing him, they crucified him. They put him on the cross of Calvary, and then they mocked him, beat him, and then they killed him, murdered him there on the cross. But he didn't stay there long, did he? He rose up from the grave, a triumph, a victorious one. He lives, he reigns, and we see that he's the one that now ascended back to the throne. At the right hand of the Father, he sits there to worship, to live there forever, to make the very intercession on behalf of all that believe upon him. Thank God. But not only that, we see that this Christ is now, not that he's not already crowned and glorified, but this is one of those passages of scripture. There's one person from earth went up to see and witness and tasting the very glory of God there, that he saw that Christ is now on the throne. He saw a throne right in the midst of there, in that midst of the glassy sea. Oh, I tell you this morning, if we could just see that very curtains of eternity opening up, the very first thing that John saw, not the glassy sea and the glass spreading there and the crystals of God's splendor and glory and radiance and all of that, but he saw in the midst there a throne that is established. There it speaks of that sovereign power and the very established seat of God. It's not a piece of furniture. It's not a piece of this to just sit there and show off. No, it is God, the glorious one that is established. He said that he's from everlasting to everlasting. His mercy now endures forever. His grace grace is unending, abounding in grace. This holy, righteous one that would sit there to rule and make governance over all the earth. This is not Alexander the Great we're talking about. Oh, this is not some Mahatma Gandhi we're talking about. This is not old Buddha we're talking about. This is the King of Kings. This is the Lord of Lords. This is the one, the Ancient One of Days, like Daniel writes. Thank God. What kind of throne is this? This is the sovereign throne. This is the sovereign throne. And I point out to you, not only we see the sovereign's throne, we see the sacred throng, we see the stirring thrill, we see the sealed book, we see the sorrowful tear, we see the Son of David on it, and then we see the song of triumph. And finally, I would like to look at the great separation in this chapters that we'll find. Oh, this, as it said in Psalm 103, the Lord hath prepared His throne in heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. Well, they say, well, nowadays it's not the kingdom of Jesus. It's not Jesus' lifestyle we're seeing. It's not the world of Jesus, they may say. Well, we know for sure that the God of this world, the little g, is working everything in His power to do and deceive and bring people down to where He is, the pit of hell and all of that. I know there's great deception, great apostasy that's going on, great deceiving sin that abounds all the earth. But one of these days we'll see it is King Jesus as He sets His throne, and for sure He will be visible, that He will see. We'll see the glory of Christ as surely as He is. It'll be very visible to each naked eye. Psalm 47, 8, God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of holiness. This would be in a description of the throne of God laid out throughout the scriptures. What kind of throne it is? It is an exalted throne. It is a heavenly throne. It is an eternal throne. It is a throne of justice, a throne of uprightness, the throne of surrounded by the angels. This is a holy throne, the throne of righteousness, the throne of steadfast love. This is the throne of faithfulness, the throne of mercy and grace, the throne of fiery judgment, the throne of and for the Lamb, the great white throne of final judgment, the throne of glory, the throne of honor, the throne of protection, the throne of shepherd's throne, the throne of worship, and the throne of prayer. This is the throne we're looking at this morning. And now, it's not a seat, is it? It's not some propped up seat. Maybe, you know, somebody's playing with it, playing around it. No, this is a holy throne. This throne must be revered. This throne must be acknowledged with great inventory, respect and honor and bowing down. Here is God reigning in all of His glory from His throne. I can turn to you to many portions of scripture, but I won't. We see in Revelation 7, 9 to 12, we see that after this I beheld, lo, a great multitude which no number could number. It said, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues stood before what? The throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and psalms and in palms in their hands. What a blessing. This is not a black throne, colorful throne. It's not a pride throne. This is a holy white throne. It is a throne of reverence. And all it dispels is the glory of His holiness, that He cannot and will not put up with sin. He has no place for sinners to there come there and rejoice and enjoy their petty sins. All sin must be confessed. All sin must be forsaken. All sin must be nailed and washed under the blood to be able to come to this throne. Oh, there's that door open in the fourth chapter. We see the early, thank God for the door open. To come to this throne, you've got to
see that somebody from inside opening that door. There in the day of Moses, Moses asked God, "Can I see your glory?" And God replied to him, "Moses, if you looked at me, if you saw my glory, you will die. You will have to perish." But thank God, Moses continued to persist and ask God, "God, if you don't show me your glory, we're not going anywhere." In the day of we're living in times like these, when we're praying, God, that you would revive your work, it should be the constant cry of people. But thank God that God didn't say that, "Yeah, I won't come to you." He said that, "Draw near to me and I'll draw near to you." And we see that it is Christ, that is in him, that the door is open unto us. It is Christ going to the cross of Calvary and dying there for our sins. And now he's ascended where? To that very throne, to sit on the right hand of the Father. He opened that door for us. That's the reason we've been hearing the preaching of the Word of God, that all the riches are in Jesus Christ, are yours. And that's why we praise him this morning, knowing that he's the one ascended after that great resurrection. You heard the voice like under the trumpet. And I will not get into all of that. We'll see that that Bible says so much there about the stone, then the seven horns and the eyes and the seven spirits of God. Let me just simply sum up, and I cannot fully give you this morning, but just to say this to you, these are the ministry of God flowing out of his throne, where all the four beasts stood there with seven eyes and those wings covering that glory. We would see that those seven horns speak of God being such a high and lofty one, just like Isaiah saw. He said, "When I looked at the throne, it was high and lofty." And then he said, "Holy, holy, holy was the cheer and the chanting flowing out of that throne by the angels, cherubim." Oh, we see the fullness of the Holy Spirit in the seven spirits of God. And I see that the ministry of God, Holy Spirit, this morning. I thank God this morning we're not without word. We're not without help this morning. It doesn't matter if you're living in 2025. You wonder what's going on. How can we further go? How can we do this and that in the days to come without great witnesses, a cloud before us and all of that? But I tell you, if you put your eyes and your mind and your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to raise up another generation for the glory of God. That's the very Spirit of God ministering to all that come near him. Oh, there are so many titles and names and types given to the Lord Jesus Christ. Talk about the stones here, but how about this? He has no beginning nor end, Revelation 1:17. He's the Holy One of Israel. He's the God of the whole earth, and he's the Man of Sorrows. He's the Rose of Sharon. He's the Lily of the Valley. He's the Son of Righteousness. He sits between the cherubim and accepts the praise of his people. He talks to and calms the storms. He rides on the wings of the wind. He rides upon the clouds. His voice is like the pealing thunder. He is the one that judges and makes war. He's the Lord of hosts. He's the everlasting, the everlasting. He's the avenger. He's the spotless Lamb of God. He's our peace, our hope, our life. He's the living and the true way. He is the root of offspring of David, the bright and morning star. Oh, he is the faithful and true. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He's the captain of our salvation. He's the elect one. He's the apostle and high priest of our confession. He's the righteous servant. He's the suffering servant. He's the Lord Almighty. He's the Redeemer. He's the light of the world, the Son of Man, the true vine, the bread of life, and the door of heaven. He's the sovereign Lord. He's the prophet, priest, and king. He's our Sabbath, our rest. He's our righteousness. He's the wonderful counselor of the mighty God, the everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He's the chief shepherd. He's the Lion of Judah. He's the rock of salvation. He's the Ancient of Days. He's the counselor of, and comforter. He's our Messiah. He's the great I am. What a God we have this morning. Hallelujah to the Lamb. And that's why I believe with all my heart, we move the scene from the sovereign's throne to the sacred throne. Then he beheld, Bible says, John beheld something so spectacular where all of the earth's choir cannot put together, can do something like this, that they were singing praises to God. They're around that throne where the cherubims covered the glory and the radiance of God, and the four beasts stood there, and then the angelic host joined around that throne of God. They begin to cry out, "Holy, holy, holy!" And while they were crying out, "Holy the Father, the Son, and holy the Son, and the Spirit, holy the Spirit, and holy the Father." That's as they were crying out, we see the elders stood up from their seats and their thrones. They joined. It would be like one of those stadiums where it's packed out with that ball players walking out, pitching that ball right into, and then that batsman holding up that bat in his hand. When we see that home run go off, it's one there shouting, it's one there crying, it's one there cheering. So is in the heavenly worship the God of glory as he sits on the throne. God of glory is being worshipped. It's been honored. It's been extolled. It's been praised for all eternity. It's been worshipped by all of the angels and all of the beasts of heaven. Thank God he also has the praises inhabited by his own people, redeemed people, not the lost people here, sadly. Oh, what a God we serve this morning. You worship him. You love this Lord. You have anything to do with this God and worship? Oh, thank God I get to worship him this morning. Oh, this is an unmoved, untouched, unthwarted, unforgettable throne in the view here we see. Oh, we see that very sacred throng. And what do you think they were crying? What do you think they were singing? Well, I believe they were probably, according to our knowledge of knowing, I think they were saying, "All creatures, God of our God and King, lift up your voice and with us sing hallelujah. Hallelujah, thou burning sun with golden beam, thou silver moon and a softer gleam. Oh, praise him. Oh, praise him. Thou rushing winds that art so strong, ye clouds that sail in heavens along. Oh, praise him. Thou rising morn in praise rejoice. Ye lights of evening, find a voice. Oh, praise him. And all ye saints of tender heart, forgiving others, take your part, oh ye. Sing hallelujah. Oh, let all the things their creator bless and worship in humbleness. Oh, praise him. Praise him. I bet they were singing, "Holy, holy, holy, merciful and mighty, God in three person, blessed Trinity." I bet they were singing, "Angels we have heard on high," but now they're singing in sight, saying, "Gloria in excels." Says Deo, they're singing, "Oh, worship the King, all glorious above. Oh, gratefully sing his praise and his love, our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilion in splendor and girded with praise. Oh, your bountiful care, what tongue can recite? It breathes in the air, it shines in the light. It steams from the hills and it descends to the plain and sweetly distills in the dew of the rain." Oh, I bet you they were singing, "Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunders, thy power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul,
my Savior, God, to thee, how great thou art. Oh, bet you they were singing, crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon the throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drones, all music but its own. Awake my soul and sing to him who died for me, and hail him as the matchless king throughout eternity. I bet you they were singing, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall, bring forth the royal diadem, and crown him Lord of all. Oh, what a praising atmosphere. They were probably right there. John was seeing all of that. Thank God for the day that you and I will step into eternity. We'll join with that same crowd around that throne of God. We'll shout with glory and praise, and we'll use up all our energy. Just like our God said in the law that you must love the Lord with all your heart. I promise you, I haven't loved my Lord with all my heart. But when my faith will become sight as I stand around that throne, I get to worship him with all my might, all my mind, all my joy. That's my king. I get to see my champion and worship him with all the good grace of God he bestowed upon me. Young people, is this what worship is? Just singing a song here and there and just telling I love Jesus. And then yes, I do, and do that and this. That's really not going to cut us to true worship, young people. My heart this morning is to share. I know there's adults too, but young people, this is our turn. They worshiped God before us, and they went off into glory. Is this the God that we enjoy? Is this the God we love and cherish and worship? That should be our God. That should be the praise to God from you, from your heart. If that's not going on in our lives, we're just no different from the rest of the world. Oh, they were praising him. All of a sudden, we see the stirring thrill. Oh, we see a sorrowful tear there. What's happening there? John, all of a sudden, hears a voice. Well, there's a book out here, and then there's that book sealed. And who's worthy to open up that book? Was the question asked. I tell you what, this morning, God is asking some questions to us. Is there anything worthy in your life worth praising for? Is there anything worthy in your life living for? Is there anything worthy of you that you think is so pleasing and you're loving? Is there anything worth living for in this life? Is the question God is asking us all this morning. There he heard John. Well, it looked through the annals of the Word of God. It wasn't Moses. It wasn't Job. It wasn't Jeremiah. It wasn't Isaiah. It wasn't Job or whoever it is. It wasn't even Paul. It wasn't even John. It wasn't John the Baptist. But there was no one that stood there that he was going. He wasn't seeing anybody there. He's got his eyes to and fro, and looking up in that corner, and there. And that's what we're doing in these days. We got idols. We got our own thing going on. We look up to them, look up to this, looking at what's trendy, what's that and this, what's working for this generation, that thing, this thing. But the thing is, we're taking off our eyes on from the midst of that crowd. What's in the midst of that crowd in heaven? In the midst of those four living beasts, in the midst of those angels, in the midst of all the saints of God. What's in the midst? The throne. There's somebody on the throne. It is Jesus Christ on the throne. But when he begin to know that somebody gets up and tells him, hey, don't cry, don't weep, son. There's one out of the Lamb, out of the tribe of Judah, the Lion of Judah, the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. Great day when somebody came up to us and told us something. Thank God for the preaching of the Word of God. Thank God for the men of God that would come to our stead, leave their comfort zone and come to us where we are and tell us about the Lord Jesus Christ. Tell us the things of God. Rehearse it in our minds. That's what we're doing this week.
We're pouring out our hearts saying, hey, the way that we're going is not the way at all. The only way is the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do you think the same repeated sermon, same repeated hourly messages? Why all of this, you may ask? There's somebody worthy. There's someone worthy of all of this. And that is Jesus Christ. If there's no one in this camp this week, Christ is still being honored and worshiped. If there's no one in America anymore to worship God, God's got a people in different parts of the world. People are still worshiping, joining bands together and saying, hallelujah, worthy is the Lamb. Glory to God. Somebody's living for God. Yes. That's the reason Paul said, oh, I don't want to be a castaway. I want to bring my body under subjection. That God would not put me aside on a shelf. Right. That's what we're doing this week. May God give us that unction, the power. It's not only for the preachers, you know, young people. Amen. When they preach, when they ask, well, God, give me unction, fresh anointing. It's not just for the preachers. Right. Young people, you can have the very unction and the power of the Holy Spirit and the strength from above. The divine hand can rest on you. I'm not just talking about men here. Young ladies, you can have the same. Yeah. I've seen it. I've witnessed it. I want it for me and my wife. I want it for our home. I want it for our people. I want it for our church. I want it for my generation. That God, Holy Spirit, would fall on us in great mighty power. Well, somebody said, will there be another Pentecost? No, there won't be another Pentecost. But God avail everything He's got on the day of Pentecost when He sent the power of the Holy Ghost down upon this earth. Amen. What I can do is, I can tap into it. I can run into Him. I can ask Him for more. Just like Elisha did. Elijah, he said, oh, Elisha, you're going. I know that you can give me all the things. But there's one thing I want, Elijah. I want the double portion of the Spirit of God. Young people, you know what I don't want this morning? Well, I do appreciate what these men of God have and the ladies of God have here. I appreciate that. But I don't want what they got. I want the double portion of what they've got. That's the only hope for me in these days. Is I want the power of God doubly given to me in the strength and the time that I need for this life to live, a godly and a righteous life. Oh, we see that sealed book and the sorrowful tear. But then the Son of David is there portrayed to us. And that's the hope, young people. Don't look at what's going on, what they're doing, what these people do, what kind, what type, and all that. We don't care about all that. All we need to do is look in the midst. You see, Jesus Christ, He was found in the midst of publicans, midst of sinners. You see, Jesus was found in the midst of the rabbis at the temple as a young boy growing up. He was in the midst. You see, Jesus was in the midst of the two thieves. You see, Jesus was in the midst. Jesus promises where there's two or more, there I am in their midst, He said. In the midst of God, Holy Spirit breathing. Jesus is here. In the Revelation, we see that Jesus is in the midst of the church as His eyes are as fire, as we see that He walks between His candlesticks with His eyes glowing like fire. We see that He's in the midst of the church. That's what we want. We want Jesus in our midst. You don't want a program or a plan in our midst, but you want Jesus in your midst. Boy, when Jesus comes in your midst, your life changes upside down for the glory of God, and your life is marked forever. Your life is changed forever, and now you can live and worship God freely, happily, joyously, even in the times of sorrow. Son of David has prevailed. Who's prevailed? Not a historian, not a guru, not a philosopher, But this is the King of Kings. Just as he said, I will do it. I will perform it. I will do it, saith the Lord. Now he stands at that throne where John witnesses. It is he that has prevailed. He is the one that has conquered it. He is the one that has finished it. He is the one that has accomplished it. Why would you want to go anywhere else? Why do you want to serve somebody else? When God saved me, I was sleeping in the tents of the idols, sleeping there right, and in the midnight, they're cutting up the animals, giving it to the idols, the devils, literally. We saw the blood oozing out of those animals. And then at the peak of that hour, while the blood is on the altars of those idols, we see a sharp, sudden, unwelcomed spirit of fear strike all of the people. And unholy a spirit is about in that place. It's so dark. It's so uncomely. It's just so weird and wicked. But then I see that yet in all of that I saw. But when I come to the house of God, after God saved me, washed me, cleansed me, when I sat in the presence of God, I wasn't confused. I wasn't despaired. It was God of glory, rich, true, merciful, happy, grand, and wonderful Savior of God. Clean conscience, clean mind. I'm not seared anymore. I'm not sick anymore. I've been free. Chains been broken asunder. Thank God he made me free. Some of you sitting here in that very dilemma, in that sin, sitting there and wondering what to do. Look at Jesus. He's in the midst. Jesus. That's the reason they said, worthy is the Lamb. Is he worthy in your life? What's worth it in your life, young people? What is it? Oh, then they begin again. While all this was going on, they had to stop and halt their singing and wait while John was weeping there and all of that. But they begin right back. They pick right back up. Thank God, when you're messed up, when you're in place of distance to God and all of that, when God comes to you and helps you, you know what you can do? You can pick right back up. Go to the Lord. Run back to you. Some of you probably won some victories in life and probably sitting in some of the petty sins, probably followed them and probably halt your life for a season there, probably coasting there. But I tell you what, if you come to Jesus today, give your life to Jesus Christ, let him and ask him to change your life, you can pick right back up. They pick right back up the song of Zion, praise and glory. But let me end with this. As they sung, worthy is the Lamb. What else did happen in that chapter? See, 13th verse there. In the 12th verse, they sang, worthy is the Lamb slain before, received power and riches and wisdom and glory. But in 13th verse, every creature which is in heaven, that's already there. Now look, and on the earth, and under the earth, which are in the sea, and all that are in them. Who are all of this? That's where we see there's a great separation between heaven and the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. What is this separation? There are other people, there are other things that are not present around that throne. Jesus is worthy of your life in salvation. But I also tell you this, Jesus is also worthy when he damns people to hell.
Amen. You're right.
I promise you this. Jesus will not be mocked. The word of God does not return void. Everything that he sent it forth, he will, and it will for sure, purposefully fall in place, and it'll give increase. Just like Paul wrote, God gives the increase. But then that rebellion, with willful attitudes of going against God, all the anti-God nature system and program that's out in the world, that's them he's speaking of here. What's happening to them? every idol, every scheme, every being, every part that is not of God, every place, every hole, every institute, every organization, everything of breath and life that is against God, God will see to it that they will also join forcefully to worship God at the throne. You're either willfully, humbly come to God, or forcefully be brought to your knees. And that's the reason we find all throughout the scripture that we got what? The fallen angels will be forced to praise Him. The countless hordes of demons and evil spirits and forth fallen angels now locked in the abyss praise Him. Even those fallen angels locked up in the Tartarus, the evil spirits now incarcerated in the bottomless pit. Oh, that old serpent, that Satan, the accuser of the brethren, the tempter, we find in the Garden of Eden will be there. Oh, that God of this world, the little G, the prince of the air, the vile and the being and the prideful Lucifer will worship Him too. You know, the devil is God's devil. Did you know that? Devil is not running this show today. It doesn't matter, sir, what happens, what prevails today before your eyes. And I promise you this, John probably, as the seals were unbroken and we see the time of tribulation as unfolds, it looks almost like devil's winning, evil ones taking over this world and all of that. But when he puts his eyes back on the throne of God, he knows it's not the devil running the show. It is God of glory running the show. He's got to say the final word. Until then, nothing's going to happen. You just have to stay quiet and worship God and live for God and do the things of God righteously. That's what's happening here, right here. All the spirits and all of the devil, all of the evil one, even the Satan himself, the beast, the false prophet and his regime, they all will join the anthem of praise. They will have no choice but to worship Him. But to worship Him. The reason the Bible says to us there in Philippians, I believe every knee shall bow at the name of Jesus Christ. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord to the glory of the Father. You either come humbly or God will humiliate you at the throne there on the day of judgment. They'll be joined by wicked Christ-rejecting sinners of Adam's race, adding their tribute from the regions of the lost throughout the world. They'll come. There are sinners all over the world, Christ-hating, Christ-rejecting. There are people right now, today, as surely as today I've heard, there are about 10 Christians being beheaded today in different parts of the world. This morning I follow one of the persecuting news that circulates all over the world, really. What happens to them? I pray that God saves those persecutors. I do. But if they willfully reject God and do the things, thank God for Saul, turn to Paul, thank God for that. But you know what? There's some like Judas Iscariot. There's some like Demas, you know. He went his way. We see others that went away doing their own thing, followed their own lust. I promise you, if you're in that category, God will bring you too, sir. Man, God is going to bring you to that very throne. Not willfully, but it will be forcefully. You'll come because you're not too far away from God's reach, and He will come. He will punish you, and it'll be the place what you would also open your mouth and praise God, saying, "Oh, worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb." But the sad thing is, it'll be everlasting too late for you. And that's the reason I prayed this morning, that you take the Word of God seriously. You take the Word of God and you take the Lord of the Word very seriously. And say, "God, I want to be at your throne worshiping you. I don't want to be far from your throne. I don't want to be in that utter casted crowd. I don't want to be in the Lord, Lord crowd. I don't want to be them that where God confesses before His Father and the whole world say, 'Depart from me, for I have never known you.' Shouldn't be the call toward us. Oh, I want to run to Jesus. Amen. Is he worthy this morning? I promise you this, to this old boy. Christ is worthy.
Amen.
I want to live for him.
Yes.
That's what is worthy of my life. Young people, life. My life. I want it to count for Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
Jesus Christ is worth living for. Not my own plans, my dreams and all of that.
Yes.
It doesn't, I'm a missionary. I do everything God asks me and commands me and grants me and permits me to do. But in all of that, you know what I want to do? My central focus is that Christ be the worthy one in my life.
Amen.
This camp, I pray that this camp would be one that the theme and the motto would be that worthy is the Lamb that was slain. If that's the theme, the Lamb's going to take. Lamb's sufficient. Lamb's enough. Lamb's going to carry. Lamb's going to prosper in this place. I don't have to worry what happens. Who takes over this, all of that. I don't care. I've got one thing to focus on, worry about. It is God's righteous plan that is that I want God to be worthy of my life. If he's worthy of my life, I promise you he's worthy of my death. If I die, it's all right. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to be with my Jesus who's worthy of my life. Is that your theme? Is that your aim this morning? Is that your goal this morning? If not, I'd run to Jesus. If Jesus is not precious to you, if Jesus hasn't prevailed you, your heart, that means conquered you.
Yeah, yeah.
Conquered you.
Yes.
Christ conquered me. That's why he's so worthy.
Yeah.